mean,
some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. Five. Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There
two,
is
hope. One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, Jimmy."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
And this is Ground Zero. Another irony has just been sent to me via email, and I want to share it with you. It is, I think it's Cyber Awareness Month or something, I guess. And as of 6:30, well, I checked the website. It's back up now. But I guess 6:30 today, the NSA site was attacked, hacked. Distributed denial of service attack. Now, the NSA is denying that it was a DDoS attack. In fact, let me see here. I'm looking over the news stories, the Twitter accounts that were going crazy talking about the DDoS attack today. NSA.gov had been available globally, was not available globally as of late Friday afternoon, but it looks like it's back. I went to the NSA site. Said also accounts belonging to people loosely affiliated with the anonymous hacktivism movement had suggested that they are responsible. The agency, though, eventually attributed the lengthy outage to an issue experienced after a scheduled update. They deny, and their official statement, this is the NSA's official statement, NSA.gov was not accessible for several hours tonight because of an internal error that occurred during a scheduled update. The issue will be resolved this evening. Claims that the outage was caused by a distributed denial-of-service attack are not true. Things are getting weird. I mean, when you're talking about the grid being hacked, now we're looking at the NSA that may have been hacked today, even though the NSA denies it. Things are getting a little strange right now. And you know, like I said, I mean, timing is everything. And when you're talking about these types of subjects, you look around, you say, okay, here's some signposts that are pointing to the possibility that the grid could be taken down on the 13th and 14th. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the drill is there to see how it's how we react or how people react to it. But, you know, to pinpoint this based on information that is faulty or otherwise speculative, I'm not going to do. But what I am going to tell you is that they have American Blackout. It's going to be playing on the National Geographic Channel Sunday night. And, of course, the Grid X2 is going to be carried out on the 13th and 14th of November. These things, and, of course, then there's a story in the New York Times that was published today about two researchers that have found a flaw in a communications protocol that exists with substations and people who monitor the power grid. And that information was distributed in April, but finally made the paper, or actually made the New York Times a few days ago. And a month ago, we reported, we did a show called Glassjaw Zone Cold Dead. The United States government is calling our power grid our glass jaw, meaning that, quote, if an adversary lands a knockout blow, experts fear, it could black out vast areas of the continent for weeks, interrupt supplies of water, gasoline, diesel fuel, and fresh food, shut down communications, and create disruptions of a scale that was only hinted at by Hurricane Sandy and the attacks of September 11, 2001. Chad Sweet, former Department of Homeland Security chief of staff and co-founder of the Chertoff Group, assessed power grid vulnerability and reported that the only way you could actually kill a large-scale number of Americans was to bring down the power grid. We're all told that Americans pull together during times of crisis, but the power grid failure, well, that causes Americans to fight for themselves. It's every American for themselves during this time. Let's go go to Cheryl in Texas. Listen on WOAI, 1200 AM. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde.
What's
How
up?
How you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that I called my power company. It's been almost a month ago. We're on Guadalupe Valley Co-op here, electric co-op.
Yeah.
And they said that the schedule was the 13th, 14th, and 15th of November, and that they don't plan to participate in that. However, if the government makes it mandatory, then they would have no choice but to. But their engineer there said what concerns them the most is that if you bring down the grid, who's to say that you're going to be able to bring it back up, because those transformers are so old, and they cost, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars a piece. And there's only, I think, five of them in stock, not in this country. And so it would take months to make more.
Well, yeah, I've read about that, that, you know, bringing them on. And they're also huge. They'd have to bring them in on huge trucks and fly them, you know, bit by bit, put them together and everything else. I would think, though, that maybe the reason why your company is not participating is maybe they buy their power from another main power source?
I don't think so. But anyway,
well, I was curious,
the lady I spoke to there said to call back after November 1st, and then they would know a lot more then.
All
so
right.
I plan to do that. But I'm keeping track of it, too, and I think everybody needs to be aware of what's going on. And remember, there's going to be no fuel either. There's going to be no gasoline.
Yeah, a lot of crazy things happening. And not only that, but they're also prepared for November 1st because I guess they're going to, some people will be affected by a decline or at least a reduced pay in their welfare and their food stamps.
There's no food stamps in November because they weren't budgeted. The USDA has already issued a letter on that last week.
Yeah, I can just
But
imagine.
It hasn't trickled down to the local offices yet. So the thing is that whatever people have on November 1st, they better, you know, whatever monies they have, they better start stocking up, because the electric company here said that grid would be down for months. And, you know, if they weren't able to bring it up, because when they bring it back up, it creates such a surge in power that it could blow out those old transformers. Those old transformers are like 50, 60 years old.
I just hope they don't do something stupid and that we don't wind up in that situation. That's the only thing, is that even though all of the things are pointing to this, I'm just hoping that it does not happen, that we don't see this happen, or somebody decides they're going to do it during a drill so it'll be real time. I mean, that happens all the time.
It's going to kill a lot of people, because the people who are at home on medical equipment, on respirators and everything else, they're going to die.
Yeah,
it's going to kill all the old people, all the disabled people. And how would you like to be on the operating table when that happens?
Wouldn't want to. But they have backup generators usually in hospitals and places like that. But the only thing that you need to remember, and what is demonstrated in this American blackout, is that power generators usually give out. And that backup power for many things, things from stoplights to elevators to what have you, eventually go down. And and most of these buildings don't even think about putting in backup or power generators to get people out of elevators. So, you know,
they don't. And you know what? Radio stations probably don't have them either. So even if you had a crank radio, you wouldn't be able to hear anything.
Well, a lot of radio stations do have ways of creating power, and they have a lot of power generators that they have on standby, especially if you're a relay station for the emergency alert system. And
T-Train has a nice little crank up radio too for like $49. It's worth the $50, you know.
Right. We have them on prepareyourgroundzero.com. So if you want to pick up a C-Crane radio, a crank radio, you can go to C-Crane.
That's cool.
Or you can go to prepareyourgroundzero.com. Plus we have food, plus we have all the things you need. In fact, some of the great stuff is one of the coolest things is the 72-hour bag, which is really inexpensive, and believe it or not, I've used it before when I've been out. And And what came in handy was the packets of water, Band-Aids, anything that's in there, gloves, things to protect you, blankets. I mean, these are things you need and things you wouldn't normally think about when things go down. And, you know, cold is one thing. You want to be warm. You want to be protected. I mean, especially with the winter months coming in. I mean, this would be something to think about.
Well, I tell you what, too, Clyde, the electric company also said that right now the grid going down was planned for the East Coast, the upper region by New York City, Washington, D.C., and up north that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that they are participating in it. So what I'll do is I'll give you a call after I find out more on November 1st and see what the status is. If I hear anything different, I'll give you a call and leave you a message.
Well, I'm sure we're going to touch this again as we get ever closer to GridX2 and if anything else comes our way, but it just seems to me that this is well in advance of what could happen. I said that I would do a show about this before Halloween because I know that by Halloween it'd be too late. I think people need to share this show when it's in the archives. They can go to SoundCloud. I think that they can go to prepareyourgroundzero.com if they need stuff to prepare. I just think that all the signposts are pointing to, hey, we're telling you, if it goes down and you don't do anything about it, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, because even if it only goes down in one region, the problem is when they try to bring it up, it could blow out everybody else's transformers.
That's true. Cheryl, I thank you for that. Thank you for calling in tonight. You bet. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Bringing back up the grid could also cause problems, and Cheryl is correct about that. I just think that people need to be aware, be prepared. I would suggest you watch that show, American Blackout, and because I saw it, it was amazing. I was, like I said, it just made me think about what's coming, if anything is coming. We hope it doesn't come. We hope it doesn't happen. There are a lot of people who are believing that it will. What do you think? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. And we'll be back. Take care. We'll be right back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go to Fred in Michigan. Hi, Fred. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde.
What's up?
Like 9/11, as you cited previously, according to multiple sources, you ever heard of Brandon Turpeville?
No.
Okay. Activistpost.com, Brandon Turpeville, he cites research such as Seymour Hersh and others. And he brings us up to date. He shows that it's a continuum of the same nefarious, sinister forces responsible for every single one of these terrorists, these seemingly random acts of terror. And it, you know, it's kind of the fulfillment of what I remember George W. Skull and Bones Bush Laden said after 9/11, never forget it. It said, the world has changed forever. It's the new crusades. Bring them on. I'm a war president. Well, by the way, I'm waging war in your name, so just go to the mall and shop. And then I recall in its first inaugural speech, which would have been, January 2001, it did say near the end, there's still an angel in the whirlwind directing the storm.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, what a fancy-dancy sentence or declaration that is, eh?
Well, that is the angel in the whirlwind represents war, or the idea that the angel riding the whirlwind is Metatron. And it's always been the winds of Moriah that carry the whirlwind, and the whirlwind is the storm that cleans out everything and basically leaves everything desolate and clean. And that's the whole metaphor.
And from their perspective, the god would be Lucifer.
Yeah.
Lucifer, Satan. In fact, you may, I don't know if David John Oates cited this to you, that expression, yes, we can, by Barry Sartaro. Yes, we can. Well, in reverse, clear as a bluebird day, as it was in August 2003, on that infamous day of energy malfunction, it says, thank you, Satan. Yes, we can.
You're giving me all these facts that I think a lot of people know already. What is your point? Are you thinking that maybe they are going to take down the grid? I mean, what is it that you want to say to me about that? That's the whole point of the show tonight.
Right. I would say that the possibilities are rife, R-I-F-E, right. And that is because that power scenario of August 03, which I distinctly recall, because I was attending to a relative in dialysis and all the equipment went down.
Mm-hmm.
And then the initial reports throughout that day cited squirrels in Ohio. Then they cited lightning over Lake Erie. And then Stanton Friedman, Fred Bell, and others were interviewed on Coast to Coast, and they said, oh, no, in reality, it was a Tesla technology event. They screwed up, they being the, well, maybe it was DARPA, who knows, but let's say DARPA, and why don't we start looking at the scientists who are involved in all of this sinister skullduggery.
It was an 800-megawatt tsunami, and no one knows why it came back and it took out the stations that it did, but it did. 800 megawatts is a lot of power.
Stanton Friedman knows. You ought to interview him, because Stanton Friedman adamantly declared over and over again he was involved in nuclear fusion engine research for NASA, and they perfected nuclear fusion engine drive technology, and this was simply one of their grandiose experiments that didn't go quite according to plan, and there was a, whatever you want to call it, a back surge in the energy that they were attempting to harness with this new Tesla technology. They're attempting to tap the ionosphere, and I think he said in conjunction with HARP. Come on, man. They're playing us for total stooge idiot morons.
Well, I guess I got to do research on that, because I didn't know much about a Tesla technology. All I know is the scientists were testing the grid, and they were preparing the grid for terrorism. They were saying they wanted to make sure the grid was safe for terrorism. It's not safe. We just have the new study now coming out of the New York Times saying that the communications protocol is vulnerable for hacking. It could shut down and keep authorities from seeing any kind of sabotage going on with the substations or a small power station somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. So, yes, they could have spent that kind of money to protect the grid, but instead they spent it on the software for Obamacare. And that leaves us vulnerable. So I don't know what the heck's going on. And again, I say, I just posted the shutdown picture of the NSA. It was actually a screen capture that I put up on my Facebook page. So if you want to take a look at it, the NSA was hacked today, and it was at least hacked and down for about 5 hours. Although the NSA says that it was their glitch and not the not a denial of service attack. So there you go.
Hey, Clyde, before I forget, the SHIELD Act, Woolsey. I don't know if you brought that up, but there is something called the SHIELD Act that Congress essentially unanimously introduced. I think it was 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But then some people from Congress said, well, you know, we had a unanimous consensus here to fund. They did. They funded the SHIELD Act, $500 million, like your previous caller, would totally fortify it, I think militarily fortified. And some extra governmental entity blocked it. So if there's any way to interview Woolsey, I would think, I guess he's now an ambassador. Ambassador Woolsey ought to know.
Well, he's the guy that's doing the investigations into the EMP surges. And believe me, with all the sun storms heading our way, I would worry a lot more about EMPs before I'd even think that they're going to do something that would be a false flag. I would be on the, I'd certainly be looking out for these major solar winds coming our way, moving at millions of miles an hour. Actually, there are two heading our way right now. They've reported two big ones. So who knows what the magnetosphere will hold back. It's it's just weird times we live in. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
Out in the waters.
Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
A very interesting story this morning. If your power goes out soon or your cell phone doesn't work, solar activity may be to blame. This is no joke. They say that the sun is getting more active, and scientists are concerned that it could take down power grids and satellites.
We're going to stay on the air for as long as possible. All we can say is what we've been repeating all morning. All morning. All morning.
I just received a full briefing from our emergency response teams, including FEMA, the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation. Right now, the public should anticipate that it may take time for the power to get back on.
Unconfirmed reports say that electrical transformers are literally bursting into flames. With as many as 100 million people now affected, authorities in the West are bracing themselves as they fear the blackout will continue to spread.
Emergency evacuation. It's a slow and frustrating process.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you are listening to Ground Zero. The number is to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Tonight, the power grid, timings and everything, right? They're giving us all kinds of clues and signs, TV shows this weekend. Show about the power grid going down called American Blackout will be on cable, National Geographic Channel. And I watched it today, gave me the willies, because it's about how having the power out for 10 days affects the United States, and it doesn't look pretty. And they're going to be doing GridX 2 coming up on November 13th and 14th. And also, New York Times article was just released a couple days ago discussing how vulnerable the grid is because of a possible vulnerability with the communications protocol that they use to monitor these stations, these electric grid stations. And they could actually go in and take out a station one and or two without anyone knowing. And believe me, it would be something that would cause a domino effect for sure. Let's go to Rusty in Pennsylvania, listening on WILK 103.1 FM. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde. How are you?
Doing great.
You know, I was just calling tonight to share a story with you that I actually just read yesterday about a power grid attack that happened in Arkansas. I didn't know if you heard about it.
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
Well, the article I read, it was posted the 10th of October. They said it happened the weekend previous, that in Arkansas there was a fire that was started at the control house of a power station. And, you know, when cops, whoever got there, they determined that it was set intentionally, and they actually found a note that was left outside for them to find that said, you should have expected us. And it caused a lot of alarm because of, you know, with the drill coming up that you've been talking about, you know, I heard you talking about it tonight. I just want to call in and share the story with you.
It says here that the FBI is offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to the arrest of the person responsible for a downed high-tension power transmission line in central Arkansas near the city of Cabot. The FBI goes on to describe the likely culprit was familiar with the Holland Bottoms area and possessing above-average knowledge or skill in electrical matters. The attack was almost certainly calculated to cause power outages in the surrounding area. Yep, it's certainly there. I'm reading it right now.
Yeah, it's a scary thing to think about. And, you know, you're absolutely right when you say, you know, people should be prepared for it.
Yeah, we should be prepared because, I mean, this is the thing. You know, someone out there is going to get, you know, wise. And like I said, with the vulnerability, they paid more money to get the Obamacare website up than to protect the grid against this software vulnerability, and I just find that you know, our priorities seem to be all screwed up, and they always have been.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, I know it was a while ago I was listening to your program. You talked about that a lot of times when there was a drill, September 11th and the Boston Marathon, was when, you know, things actually happened.
Right.
And, you know, it goes to show that, you know, maybe they shouldn't always, you know, make things announced that they're going to do, because it just opens up that, you know, that's a time when we're not really going to be prepared for it.
Yeah, well, now, I mean, as I said, there are a lot of signposts that are pointing to, we're telling you, we're going to do the test, and we don't know what's going to happen after the test. So I suggest you be prepared.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking my call tonight. Have a good night.
You too. Take care. Let's go now to Uncle Doug in North Carolina. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde, Uncle Doug. Hey, listen, you know, being prepared, it's kind of like being pregnant. There's no good time for it, really. I mean, you got to think about this. When would you be prepared for it? You'll never be prepared for it, because people are too damn busy going to the mall. They're too busy playing with their little text messaging machine, and they're wanting to look pretty and good and get ahead of the other guy. Well, you know, during the Depression and during hard times back in the early 1900s, who in the United States fared the best? It was the people of the mountains of the Appalachians. Why? Because they farmed, they fished, they hunted, they traded amongst themselves. They were gardeners. And not only that, they didn't have anything to begin with before the Depression, and a lot of them didn't have anything even after the Depression.
Right.
So my theory in this whole thing is there's going to be a whole lot of people bleed, hurt, and there's going to be a ton of collateral damage. Is this going to happen? I think this is very, very calculated, and it's convenient for them to be doing this going into wintertime. Come on. Why wouldn't you do that in the summertime?
Well, either way, if the conditions are harsh enough, I mean, I would say doing it in the wintertime would be worse, because I always say it's better to be warm and getting cool than it is to be cold and not finding enough heat.
I mean, we just had snow here in the Appalachian Mountains the past 3 days, so the middle of November, yeah, you could see a lot of people having a whole lot of hurt going on.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that I remember hearing about, I think it was like a power outage in San Diego that happened for a few days, and people said they just got in their pools and they sat it out. They had barbecues in the backyard. That lasted for a few days, and they were okay. The food eventually went bad. They had to throw out ice cream and milk in most of the stores, yogurt and things like that. But otherwise, they fared well. But I could just imagine what it would be like if you didn't have an independent source of heat that didn't run off power or didn't run off any, gas that could be pumped. I would hate to think that there isn't another way to either build a fire in the backyard or to do something. I mean, they'd probably allow that if you did it, or a barbecue or something to keep warm, but that doesn't even help you. I mean, that's only a small area. I mean, think of blankets, think of what you're going to be eating. And when you do end up in the cold, you end up burning a lot of calories. And so you need certain types of foods in order to sustain your body, because in the cold you burn off a lot of calories when you're freezing. So that's something to think about too.
Most refrigerators or freezers will last 2 days, 2.5 days, as long as you open them up quickly and shut them quickly. But if you stand there looking at your six pack of beer and your pack of bologna for 5 minutes, you don't have any cold left in the freezer or your refrigerator. So people that are going to be without power for 5 days are going to be without food in 3 days.
It'd be hard to find something like dry ice to keep everything cold, too. I mean, that's always scarce. It's hard to find that.
Your gas stations don't even have backup generators. I've never understood that. Here's a gas station that's got 30,000 gallons of gas in the ground or in a tank standing next to the filling station, and they don't have a generator to pump the stuff. That doesn't make sense to me.
No. Well, I mean, and that's what's pointed out in this TV show, is they were pointing out things that you'd be surprised that so many things don't have backup power that you'd think would have backup power that don't, and that most hospitals, you know, they'll be running on backup generators, but then backup generators can only take them so far, and this is a power failure that lasts 10 days.
The weird thing that I've looked and seen here in Boone, North Carolina, you know who's got the backup generators? The banks.
Well, they're not going to do any good for anybody if the grid goes down and the internet and the ATMs go down too. So they can exchange money.
We're a very unprepared mess, is what we are. We will be our own demise. And the guy that called in on the other show an hour or so ago, I almost go along with him. Maybe we need this to give us a little bit of tough love and wake us up. I hate the bleeding and the death and the collateral damage, but it will wake this country up for the ones that do survive.
Well, I'll tell you something, just to be honest. I mean, vulnerability does teach you lessons. And I learned my lesson last week. And ever since then, I've decided I've sworn off a lot of things so that I could at least become stronger and be able to handle things like this. And so, yeah, I mean, it gave me a wake-up call. I mean, more so than having cancer gave me a wake-up call. So I think that, maybe we do need that shake to shake us out of our stupor.
You'll make you tough.
That's what they tell us, and that's what's happening. So maybe that's right. Hey, Doug, don't be a sheeple.
Same to you, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. We go to John now in Ohio. Hi, John. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
I just wanted to point out that if stocking up is great and it's what people need to do, but they also need to think a little bit farther down the road and kind of assess their skill set and not think of all their neighbors as potential problems, but try to think about what their skill sets are and see who could actually be something positive to look towards if mm-hmm. something does happen. If you can... you can stock up on all the food and all the seeds, but if you have no idea how to actually cultivate anything, your neighbor's a gardener, that could be something positive. Other neighbor's a nurse.
Well,
go right ahead.
I would say that in my old neighborhood, I actually organized a group. We had a market where everybody would gather, and we said that if anything was to go down, we would gather at this market, and then from there, we would rely on everybody to help us out if anybody was in need. And that was the agreement we had in our neighborhood. And it was pretty small. So I don't know if anyone can have that much courage to say, I want to organize a neighborhood co-op where we can actually have a cooperative together. And if anything goes down, we're all for one and one for all. And we help each other and we can survive just as long as we can establish that there will be someone who will take charge and will make sure that this all works out. But, of course, after time, people tend to get a little weirded out if it doesn't get corrected rather quickly. And that's the thing that I'm worried about.
Very true. Very true. Well, thanks a lot for taking my call tonight.
John, thank you for calling in tonight. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Get a few letters telling me that, well, where's the positive side? Well, here's the positive side quickly. Preparedness. You need to be prepared. This is news, okay? And sometimes news isn't always pretty. It isn't always nice. But that doesn't mean that it can't be a plus. You can learn from your mistakes and prepare. I'm telling you now, if you go to prepareyourgroundzero.com, go there, check out what we got, and see if you can get yourself prepared. We'll ship that stuff out to you, by the way. Prepareyourgroundzero.com. That's prepareyourgroundzero.com. More of your phone calls coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Back to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Go to Guy in Maine, listening on WVOM 101.3 FM. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead. Guy in Maine. Good. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I guess one to offer an opinion. I guess it's just a little bit different than everybody else. We are off the grid.
Okay.
So when we listen to all this, we look at everybody else and say, well, why hasn't everybody else joined us?
Because not everybody else has the opportunity. They live in certain areas where they need power.
Yes, sir. I understand that fact. And we do live in a very rural place. And we do live, on many acreages that are ourselves. And we are sort of gifted with that, distance, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we look at it, and I've been listening for the last 3 days. You've sort of been creeping towards this with the preparedness and every... and from Mike in Massachusetts, who everything, you know, the government, and I laughed at him too, I'm sorry, you know, was supposed to provide. And no, we're not ready to step into a bunker, but I mean, somewhere in between, why aren't people, if you told them a blizzard was coming, they would go to the store and buy food and put it in their store, in their, you know, freezer. All of these technologies are there and available to people. Why aren't they preparing just because? Not because any particular thing is going on.
Because people, I've heard this all the time, Guy. This is what they say. Don't have the money. I don't have the income. I don't have, so I'm thinking to myself, how do they live if they don't have money? And what it is, no. You know what the excuse is when they say they don't have money? It's they don't have money that they want to part with to prepare. That's what it is. It's like there's always money that you can find to kind of drum up like $25, maybe $30 to get yourself a kit that you can have a bug out bag for. But I'm just saying, if you want to buy a whole lot of food, that's going to cost you $175 or so. But see, people have their priorities, right? They have their, they want to buy iPhones. They want to buy new telephones. They want to look at new technologies. They want to have all that stuff. And yet they don't want to part with their money. They want to take any of that money to buy food that's going to protect their home.
Okay, well, it'll cost them $1,000 to be off the grid.
But that's not necessarily, though. If you're living in an urban area, you can't be $1,000 off the grid. I can't live off the grid.
Well, you would have to be willing to not have, you know, the Netflix working, and you would have to learn to curb your behavior, but your life would continue.
Of course it would continue, but what I'm getting at is that if you want to put that aside for a while and get yourself some things to prepare, I mean, I'm saying that setting aside a little bit of money for you is important. Set aside a little bit of money for your family is important. Putting that towards something that you can eat later is important. Or you can drink later.
We have our gardens. We have our animals. We have all those things.
I know, but not everybody can live in a rural community like you, Guy. It's just not feasible for people.
Okay, so then where is the in-between, I guess, then? Between the person that's completely urbanite and the person that's completely rural.
There is no in-between. You're it. You are the guy. You are the man. You are the man that's the in-between. There is no in-between. Either you have a garden and you can take care of yourself. You can be self-sufficient. You have a cow you can milk. You have chickens that lay eggs for protein. You have all that stuff, you can live pretty much off the grid. If you have a nice stove, you can go cut wood and you can make that heat up your home. Those are things that people can have in rural areas and they can get away with it. But people like me who live in communities, live in cities, no. I mean, we could pack up the car and go find a place to set up a campsite and just kind of live off the land. But that gets old rather quick when you have problems like health problems and other things you have to deal with.
Absolutely. I guess I never thought of myself as the man because that's really sad. But I guess one camper, you know, solar panel, something. I mean, anything. I mean, that provides them with something would be good. I mean, anything.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you. I was talking with my friend the other day who told me that he constructed a solar panel and he sells power back to the power company. He's living better with his solar power. That's the thing, is that not everybody has it or not everybody thinks to have it, nor do they think it's a good investment. It's all, you know, it's all everyone, you know, to each his own and different strokes for different folks. But the truth is, there are some things that you may have to do away with if the power goes out, and you have to get used to that idea. And that's going to be hard for a lot of people. And that's the thing, is that not everyone is capable of living off the land, and not everyone's capable of doing what you're doing. That's why I say there is no middle ground. You are the guy. And that's how it is.
Well, I guess I would just encourage everybody to kind of fix their priorities and say, what do I need? And really just, you know, give it a try as best they can, yep, wherever they can. What, you know, learn what you can live without. And it's really not that hard. I mean, in the end, you know, when it's all said and done, the things that you're doing without are a lot easier.
That's true. Guy, thank you for your call. Thank you so much for your wisdom. We'll be back with more Ground Zero and your calls coming up at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL. Mark.